Warning: this program contains content that may not be suitable to some listeners. It contains decency, truth, ageless wisdom, a father who cares. It's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Hi, folks. This is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations, and studio audience today, Emily, Daniel, Rebecca, and Abigail, and Derek, Dave Buhner's son, all in studio with us. And today we are talking about the same thing we talked about yesterday, and that is the fact that in northern Colorado, a family of five children lost every one of their children to social services. And when their sixth child arrived in the hospital, the social service agents came in, ripped that child out of their mother's arms, out of his mother's arms. And Dave, I assume you love your children.
Well, I have to, because if I don't, who will?
Right, right. Now, what would you do if this happened?
If they came to the hospital to try and take my child?
Yeah.
Well, you know, when I was in the hospital and we just had our last child, I could even pick up my son if I didn't have an identifying wristband.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm shocked that these people, without having a wristband, without, you know, writing an oath in blood, were able to do this. But if they'd actually come and take my child, and they had the courage to do it in front of my face, it would be good that we were in a hospital because there might be blood spilt.
Yeah, yeah. Dave, I can't even imagine what this family is going through right now. And this kind of situation is all too common. I just heard of another family down in Texas who lost six of their children to the social services. Let's be very clear that if somebody breaks a child's arm, he should be prosecuted by the police. And the trial should come up before a judge. There should be at least two witnesses. And the social services has no part in this. This is a police matter. This is a court matter. There's just no purpose for social services' existence, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and even in the case of a broken arm, you have to look at the circumstances. You and I both have a friend who was bouncing on the trampoline with his daughter and broke her arm. Now, is that prosecutable? I don't think so.
Absolutely not. It's got to be a crime that comes out of hate and malice and those sorts of things, premeditated and all the rest. But why social services? Why is government involved in things like charity? Well, of course, it develops a generational welfare dependency. Social services destroys the dignity and self-respect of the poor, and certainly takes away all impulse to self-government. That's what social services does. So the end result of social services is not to improve parenting. It actually goes just the opposite.
Well, what social services and, in fact, all government socialist programs do is they say, we do not have confidence in the God-ordained jurisdictions and institutions that God himself has created. So, for instance, in times past, one would look to the church for areas of mercy, areas of charity, that you would take care of the real physical needs of the people. That was done through the church. But people, by and large, started moving away from the church. They didn't have confidence that the churches would do this. And so the government said, you know what? You don't need the church. You don't need these institutions. You don't need the family. We will take money from your neighbor in order to finance that which people used to do willingly.
And as Pastor Allison said yesterday, the worldview is bad. The worldview behind social services or child protective agencies is bad. Their sworn purpose is not to love children. They don't love children. They don't intend to love children. They don't intend to pour out love on the poor at all. Their purpose is to develop a bureaucracy. And by definition, a bureaucracy doesn't love anybody.
Well, and I'll go even further. Not only is their purpose not to love children, but really their purpose is to hate parents.
Yeah, and of course destroy the family, and that's the end result. And that's why, you know, in 1960, when social services hardly existed, only 5% of children were born without fathers. Today it's 35%. So the result of 30 to 40 years of government bureaucratization and child protective agencies that have been growing throughout the entire United States, the end result of all of that is what? Even worse problems for the family.
And, of course, one of the rules of economics is that what you subsidize, you get more of. And I ask you, over the last 30 or 40 years, since we have the rise of things like child protective services, have children been abused more or less, do you think?
Well, they're being abused a lot more, of course. That's the result of child protective services. That's the result of the bureaucratization of charity. Now, increasingly, this is also important because the bad worldview is only going to make things worse. Increasingly, Christian parents are being denied adoption rights from
Social services, they're looking for dysfunctional families, homosexuals, and parents who deny relationships and insist on institutionalization of children. That's what they want. They don't want homeschoolers. They don't want parents to love their children. That's an affront to social services.
And if you can look to the future, here's a couple of predictions. They will start arresting parents for catechizing or teaching their children the fear and admonition of the Lord. That is all already in some circles being called child abuse, that you're giving your child a religious indoctrination. If you discipline your child, if you're quick to discipline, as the Bible says, and you follow God's admonition to do that for your children, that right now is being called child abuse. So if you bring out the rod, don't do it in public, because you may be seeing some time in the pokey.
Dave, there are a lot of parents out there concerned, at least those that heard yesterday's program, when we talked about case after case after case of good parents, good families, that were losing their children to social services over bogus reasons. Now, we're going to get somebody on the line who knows a lot about these social services abuses that are happening all over the country. Robert Surgener is a police detective who has done a lot of work in protecting parental rights. Dave, I'm not sure what I would do if a social service investigator knocked on my door. We're going to talk about that next on Generations. Stay tuned, folks. Hi, folks, we're back. This is Generations, and today the topic is social services, what to do when the knock comes on your door. And today we have Robert Surgener, a former police detective from Ohio. He is the author of the book No Fear and director of Family Defense Network. Robert Surgener, thank you for joining us on Generations today.
Thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Robert, we have more investigations going on than I think I've experienced in a long time. I get a lot of anecdotal experiences conveyed to me through the phone lines because I'm involved with the homeschoolers in the state. But there's a case right now in northern Colorado where something like six children have been removed from a home for bogus reasons, as far as we can tell. And one of the children was removed on the day of his birth, torn from his mother's arms in the hospital, if you can believe that. What's going on?
You know, for years, Mr. Swanson, the Department of Children's Services have been basically exempt from civil rights lawsuits. They have had qualified immunity, the same as police departments. When I started with the police department, we had qualified immunity. You couldn't sue the police department, just like you can't sue a judge. We lost qualified immunity back in the 70s. There are recent court decisions, major decisions by federal courts that have basically said that social services is subject to the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution like every other law enforcement officer in the country. And although the child abuse laws are different in every state, the child abuse laws in Colorado are different from those in Ohio, basically pertaining to the amount of harm. In Ohio, you can discipline a child as long as you don't cause serious physical harm. In Colorado, it's simple physical harm. So the degree of harm is differently. But still, most parents need to be aware of the laws of their state, how far they can go when they're disciplining their child, and they also need to know their rights under the United States Constitution as far as what constitutes an illegal, unreasonable search and seizure under the law.
Robert, is it possible to go after some of these irresponsible social service investigators that bust into homes, that abrogate the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution? Is it possible to sue these guys?
Well, it has changed. There was a recent situation in Ohio. They went after a homeschooling family, and I can tell you from personal experience, Mr. Swanson, that children's services are targeting homeschool families. They actually go to the school system where I was a police officer and demand a copy of the registration of homeschoolers. That's one of the reasons why I'm against registering. They're required by law to submit that list to Children's Services because it is public record. And I'm convinced that these social service workers go after, they specifically target homeschool families because those children are not in school. But this situation, this lawsuit in 2001, they targeted a homeschool family. They took the police department with them. They threatened them with arrest if they didn't let him in the house. This family went and got an attorney, a good constitutional attorney. And this attorney is now with our organization, with the Family Defense Network. The court ruled at that time, and the court, this is what the court actually stated. Despite the defendants, with the defendants being Children's Services and the police department, the court stated, despite the defendants' exaggerated view of their powers, the Fourth Amendment applies to them as it does to all other officers and agents of the state whose request to enter, however benign or well-intentioned, are met by a closed door. The Fourth Amendment's prohibition on unreasonable searches and seizures applies whenever an investigator, be it a police officer, a Children's Services employee, or any other agent of the state, responds to an alleged instance of child abuse, neglect, or dependency. And the best part about this lawsuit is at the very end of the decision, the judges stated, the claims of the defendants, both the police officers and social workers of qualified immunity, are therefore denied. That opened the door for lawsuits to be filed against Children's Services. And that although that is only binding in three states in northeastern Ohio, the district federal court, that decision can be used by other states to point out to circuit courts in different states, look, this is what Ohio ruled.
Robert, it seems to me that you've got to assume that a lot of these social workers are ignorant of the law. They just simply do not know about the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution.
Mr. Swanson, I would have to say that as a police officer, I was aware of the Constitution. I was aware of my limitations on getting into houses, but I used tactics and techniques in order to get into a house that I really considered a person had committed a crime. I went after consent searches. And that is basically what Children's Services does. When they show up at the door without a warrant, you can bet they don't have enough probable cause to get into your house.
And what is probable cause?
Probable cause is basically in between a reasonable suspicion and beyond a reasonable doubt. People have no idea how difficult it is to get a search warrant. I mean, out of all the search warrants that I applied for as a police officer over 20 years, I would have to say only 10% were okayed.
All right, Robert, does a social service worker have the right to come into my house and do an investigation without a warrant?
No, sir. Absolutely, positively not. The Fourth Amendment of the Constitution says, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects, and that covers everything, against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. And no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. It's very clearly spelled out in the United States Constitution what is required to get a warrant. I mean, you need probable cause. You have to swear under oath in front of a judge that this is the facts. The judge then issues the warrant.
Does an anonymous tip then constitute probable cause?
Because
I know that.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
There is a Supreme Court ruling. You know, in the old days, Mr. Swanson, what police officers used to do is they used to go to a payphone and call in an anonymous tip to their own department. Well, that was then considered probable cause to get a warrant. Well, you know, the courts pretty soon got wise to that. So the Supreme Court has ruled an anonymous tip does not, will not, can never constitute probable cause to obtain a warrant.
All right, so the social service investigator is standing at my door, and they want to get in. They want to do an investigation in my home of my children, and they try to force their way in. What do I do?
I'll tell you what, if they force their way into your house without a warrant, you might as well just start adding up the dollar signs, because you have a perfect Fourth Amendment violation. A Supreme Court ruling in, I believe it was 1973 or 74, even ruled that the Supreme, and I'm going to read this, the Supreme Court found no consent where police officers appeared at the defendant's door and told him they wanted to come in and ask some questions. The court held that the consent to enter was granted in submission to authority rather than as an understanding and intentional waiver of the defendant's constitutional right. It also said the police should ensure that the person knows that he or she is free to refuse consent despite the officer's request to search. Here the Supreme Court ruled that even intimidation on the part of an officer of the court, now mind you, and that includes social workers, is a violation of that person's Fourth Amendment rights.
Now, Robert, there are folks that get tangled up in these social services investigations. My guess is that many of them are very naive. What happens when an investigation starts to go sideways, and how can you prevent that from happening?
I think the most important thing to do is to document, document, document. In other words, if the parent is being harassed by social services, they can put a telephone tap on their line, a recorder. They should start recording every conversation they have with every law enforcement official involved in that conversation. They also should have a video camera set up near the front door, ready to go, battery charged, brand new tape.
Robert, how important is a good attorney? I assume at any stage it's probably important to have an attorney if you can get one.
It's paramount. We have tried to compile a list of attorneys with the Family Defense Network, attorneys that are really have a working knowledge of the child abuse statutes. In Ohio, for instance, you can spank your child and leave a bruise on the leg. It is not against the law. The law clearly specifically says that in order for it to be classified as child abuse, there has to be serious physical harm to the child. I mean, broken bones, stitches, a bruise is not, it has always been considered minor physical harm. Now, I don't advocate bruising children, but a parent who spanks their child and accidentally leaves a bruise, that is not child abuse. Do you know how many judges don't know that? Do you know how many prosecutors are not cognizant of the law? You need an attorney who is totally, completely familiar with your state's child abuse statutes.
You know, Robert, there are a number of parents I know listening to this program who probably are a little scared about what could happen to their family, to their children, if they got tangled up in a social services investigation out here. What can you tell them to give them maybe a little comfort that this is not the end of the world?
You know, we have a website. And if they would like to visit that website, it's familyfdno.org, the letters FDNO, as in Family Defense Network of Ohio.org. There is so much information we have on there about parents standing up for their rights. Knowledge is power. And if a parent is assured that they are not breaking the law, that the Children's Services have no authority without a warrant or a court order, that really empowers that parent. They're not afraid anymore. They can stand up to Children's Services and say, look, I have rights and there's nothing you can do to me.
One of the saddest things in all of this is that it seems to me that these bureaucrats take advantage of the naive, the poor, and the disadvantaged. Something that they claim not to be doing is exactly what they're doing. It's sort of the sad irony of this whole thing. But Robert, thank you so much for joining us today on Generations. You have enlightened, I'm sure, many, many families out there.
Thank you, Mr. Swanson. I really sincerely appreciate the opportunity to do so.
And we will be back, folks, in just a moment to give you more on what to do when the social services investigator knocks on your door.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. The program is Generations, and we are facing the hard truth today that there are families that really do lose their children for bogus reasons to social service investigations. And Dave, as we close this program, I can't help but think about the story that comes from Louisiana with the recent hurricane down there. You know what happened in rest homes down there in Louisiana, Dave? They had all these 70, 80, 90-year-old folks in these rest homes down in Louisiana. The floodwaters come with the surges, and the professional staff all vamanoosed. They were gone. They were out of there. They left these elderly people to die in those rest homes. Many of them drowned.
So women and children first is not really the motto of New Orleans.
Didn't happen. Didn't happen with these professional folks. And I think we need to be very plain about social services. These professionals, these social service agents do not love your children. Folks, they do not love your children. They have no relationship with your children. They don't have the best interest of your children in mind. Child Protective Services is an illegitimate, non-God-ordained institution. They're only there to pave the road to hell with good intentions, and they do a good job at that. Now, I want to stop beating around the bush here with you, Dave. Social services should be eliminated. Should be abolished. These social service investigations can go sideways on you. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why we recommend HSLDA memberships. And the best thing that we can do, Dave, is keep these guys out of our houses. And the best way to do that is to get an HSLDA membership. If you are a homeschooler, you can do that. And you can hand a portable phone to that agent outside of your house and say, you need to speak with my attorney. That's why we recommend Homeschool Legal Defense Association. That's why they're one of the sponsors on the program. I've been part of HSLDA for at least 7-8 years now. You get in touch with them at hslda.org. That's hslda.org. And you can interact with this program by emailing me, kevin@check.org. That's kevin@check.org. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. Recommend this program to your friends and family members. Their children, their families may depend on this program. That's kevinswanson.com for a program you can listen to anywhere in the world. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.